right, good morning. So I have a couple of announcements that have nothing to do with what's written in the bulletin. So if everybody would take a seat so that I only have to go over this or these two announcements just once, that would be great. I know you're so used to being able to just visit with everybody, be able to talk, but at least this first announcement, I need everybody's attention to be able to hear this. So I have recently been diagnosed with severe hearing loss. And my left ear is worse than my right ear. And so the bottom line is, I don't know what that means moving forward. I don't go back to my ear doctor until October so that we know what protocols are in place. I don't know if it means hearing aids. I don't know. I have a lot of unanswered questions. There's some reasons why I have the hearing loss that I do. But why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because it's already affected some of you. Because if you are behind me and you speak to me, I cannot hear you. So if you want to say something to me, you need to get in front of me. If I walk by, and this happened just a while back, I walked by somebody. Soon as I got past them, they spoke to me, and I didn't even know that they were saying anything to me. And they thought, wow, wow, pastor doesn't care. No, they didn't think that. But I don't want anybody to think that, okay? But if I walk by you and you start talking, you're behind me, I can't hear you. So make sure that if you need to communicate with me, you are in front of me. Not so that I can read your lips, but so that I can hear you. Okay? Everybody understand? So just keep me in your prayers. If you do your part, I'll do my part. We'll get through this. Okay? All right? And so I have seen an audiologist, and the report has gone back to my primary physician and my ear doctor. But like I said, I don't get to see the ear doctor till sometime in October. Okay? All right. Second, and I think we're all home folk today. So all of you have got a bulletin. And if you didn't get a bulletin, make sure that you get one before you leave. And some of you have noticed that the bulletin is in a new format. This is not the format that it's going to be moving forward. But it's the format we have to have for the time being. We just recently, on Thursday, had a new printer installed because our old printer was at what's called end of life. That doesn't mean it didn't function anymore. Well, one part of it didn't function anymore. That was the part that we used to do the bulletin. And so, but what it means is there were no more parts to be able to replace the things that didn't function as well on the old one. We have a new one. They were supposed to bring us the tray so that we could print on legal size paper. They didn't bring us the tray because it was back ordered. The tray came in. But when they opened it, the printing company opened it, it was broke. So now they had to reorder another one. So we've been told it could be coming in sometime this week, but who knows, right? Becky and I ordered some shirts about a month ago, and we thought they were coming from Texas. Ended up they came from China. We ended up getting them delivered yesterday or Friday. And so you just never know, right? So this is not the way the bulletin is always going to look. That's the point, okay? All right? Some of you have said you don't like this new format, and I don't blame you, okay, because it's different. And we can't get as much information in the bulletin as we used to. Becky doesn't like it either because she has to decide what information is going to get put in this one as opposed to what we could do before. But the old way is coming. We just got to wait for the new parts to be able to do that. Everybody understand? So if you have any questions about anything I've just said, come and see me, and I'll try to answer those questions for you. If not, I'll make up an answer, and we'll go forward, okay? All right. So there's one announcement in the bulletin that I want to bring attention to. So leadership team, you will notice that on August 5th, we are going to be having our leadership team meeting. That is a Wednesday, not a Tuesday. I have a conflict that has arisen for Tuesday the 4th, so we're going to move it to August the 5th. Hopefully all of you on the leadership team will be able to be here at 6:30 to be able to do that. And we'll remind you of that next month in the bulletin, whatever the bulletin's going to look like next month or next week, okay? All right, moving forward. Any questions? Good. Come and see me afterwards, and we'll try to answer those. Well, we have a very special birthday today. And so come on up here, buddy. So you all know who this is, right? This is Papa's grandson, one of them. The other one's sitting over there. Okay. But he turns how old?
Five.
Five. Five going on 40. Right? Exactly. Okay. And he's also had another momentous occasion this week as well, right? Smile. Show him. He lost his tooth. So now he's got a hole in his mouth about this big. No, not that big, right? Okay. But anyway, he's getting older. Welcome to the club. Okay. All right. So let's sing Happy Birthday to Silas. To praise, ready to worship, let's get after it.
Would y'all stand with me this morning? Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light. Forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Yes, I believe in the name of Jesus. findeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well,
it is well
with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, oh, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sighed, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Please be seated as we continue. Lord, we are glad to be in your house today. We're glad to be in your presence. We're glad to sing to you. We're glad to sing of how great you are. We're glad to sing about the cross, about your love, about what you did and who you are, about where we're going. Lord, we are glad for you.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious endless fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. How amazing is your grace that saved this broken heart and made it new again. Your love has made a way, and now I stand forgiven. I've been called by name, and I will sing of your love forever. Sing of your love for all eternity. And I will sing of the cross of Jesus. Sing of how you laid down your life for me. I was blind, but now I see. The mercy of the cross washes over me. And how can it be? The one who overcame is my victory. Oh, Jesus, you are my victory. And I will sing of your love forever. Sing of your love for all eternity. And I will sing of the cross of Jesus. Sing of how you laid down your life for me. Only you can save and deliver. Only you have the power to heal. Defeated the grave. This one thing I know, you are the reason I sing. Only you. save and deliver. Only you have the power to heal. Only you defeated the grave. There's one thing I know, you are the reason I sing. You are the reason I sing. And I will sing of your love forever. Sing of your love for all eternity. And I will sing of the cross of Jesus. Sing of how you laid down your life for me. And I will sing of your love forever. Sing of your love for all eternity. Yes, I will sing of the cross of Jesus. Sing of how you laid down your life for me. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, for laying down your life for us. Thank you, Lord, for what you did, for the way that you made, for the hope that you give, for the future. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you. We could never thank you enough. As we take this morning's offering, we're going to sing a song called From the Inside Out, and the thrust of this song is from in here, we're going to praise, not just out here with our hands, what we do, but from in here with who we are.
A thousand times I fail, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. Your will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. In my heart, in my soul, Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out. In my heart, in my soul, Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out.
Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 3. And you will notice by the title of the message this morning, Sin Has Consequences. One day a father received a flurry of orders from Grubhub, and it didn't take him long to realize what had happened. This father had allowed his 6-year-old son to play on his phone before bed. The 6-year-old rewarded this kindness by ordering a whole lot of food. "Why did you do this?" asked the father to the little boy who hid under his bed. The little boy replied, "I don't know. I was hungry." The boy proceeded to interrupt his father's lecture mid-sentence and said, "Dad, stop. When are the pepperoni pizzas coming?" Thankfully, the $439 pizza order was canceled by the parent's bank for appearing fraudulent. But more than $1,000 worth of food was successfully ordered and delivered, creating a very full refrigerator and emergency offers to friends and neighbors to share the unforeseen bounty. The father remarked, "I had to keep stepping out of his room and calming myself down. You want to yell at your son, but he's only 6. The next day, the parents sat down with their son and explained the gravity of his actions. To teach him a lesson, the 6-year-old had to use $150 from his piggy bank to help pay for all the hot dogs, cheese fries, hot wings, and burgers which showed up at the front door. The father reflected, "We showed him one by one what he did. He was a little devastated, but he understood the consequences." As we continue this morning in our series in Genesis, we're going to see how God the Father placed some difficult consequences on his children because they ate the wrong grub. And if nothing else, the lesson that we need to learn from this is that God takes sin seriously. We've been talking about that over and over again in this study in Genesis. God takes sin seriously. Have you ever wondered why life is so hard? Why do relationships have to be so difficult? Why do you feel unfulfilled at work? Why is your marriage a mess? Why is parenting so challenging? Where does your anger come from? Why do you feel so restless and rebellious? By the way, that's not the title of a soap opera. That's a condition sometimes we find ourselves in. Why is it hard to read your Bible? Why are you so self-centered? Why do you feel discouraged? Why are there so many natural disasters? Why is there so much conflict in the world? Why does life feel so unsettled? Why do you feel so alone? Why are so many people dying? In short, here's the answer. Life is not what it should be. When you see all that is wrong, be reminded of how sin has affected and infected everything and everyone. So if you don't remember anything else about this morning's message, remember this. The curse due to Adam's sin brings consequences to everyone. The curse due to Adam's sin brings consequences to everyone. The source of these problems that we just talked about can be traced back to the consequences of Adam and Eve's sin. And these consequences were designed for a purpose, and the purpose was to help them know the horror of their sinful attitudes and actions. Hopefully by now you've found Genesis chapter 3. Follow along as I read, starting in verse 16, reading down through verse 19. "To the woman God said, 'I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.' And to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you will return. So there are consequences for women. There are consequences for men. And we're going to start with the consequences for women. Because one thing my grandmother taught me when she was raising me is that it's women first. So, ladies, don't feel like I'm picking on you. Because we're going to get to the men here in a little bit. So let's look at the consequences for women. Adam and Eve were each given consequences which get to the heart of who they were created to be and what they were created to do. God imposed sentences on them that have affected every human since then. There are consequences related to love. We see that in verse 16. And consequences related to labor. We see that in verses 17 through 19. And you know, by the way, I'm so grateful that I get to preach God's word to a church family that is so eager to listen to it, no matter how difficult the text might be. So let's look at some of these consequences. Here's one of them for women: the pain of motherhood. We see this in verse 16. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. This declaration, I will surely, has the idea of absoluteness. In other words, there's no bargaining. There's no negotiating this away. There's no change. There's no turning back. Women, the reason why childbirth is so difficult is because of Eve's sin back in the Garden of Eden. The word pain is used here twice, which means sorrow, agony, and suffering. Those of you ladies who have given birth, you understand those three words, don't you, in relation to childbearing. The phrase can be read this way: I will cause to be great your sorrow by increasing it and increasing it some more. I wonder if that's why the word labor has come to describe childbirth, since it is rough and rugged work to give birth. If you've never been around when a woman gives birth, it is work. It is rugged. It is rough. Back in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, Adam and Eve are commanded to be fruitful, to multiply by having children. And now Eve is told her pain will be multiplied in childbearing. Now, childbearing refers to the whole process of pregnancy, the actual birth of a baby, and the parenting of her children. And every mother here can testify to the pain of childbirth. Now, this is something that men can't relate to. So men, don't ever say any pain you might be experiencing is worse than childbirth. Ladies, you can thank me later. The word pain refers to physical discomfort and emotional distress. And it didn't take Eve long to experience deep pain in giving birth to her two sons, and then experience deep anguish when her son Cain killed her son Abel. The curse due to Adam's sin brings consequences to everyone. Here's the second consequence: the problems of marriage. And this second consequence is stated in verse 16, and it has to do with her relationship with her husband. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. Now, the understanding of this consequence is that the marital relationship will cause both the husband and the wife to want to rule over each other. And the word rule in the Hebrew has a hint of dictatorship about it. Now, in this sinful world, the wife will desire to control and the husband will seek to dominate as coercion replaces cooperation. Remember, that's what God created Eve to be, a complement to Adam, a helper to Adam, to be a partner to Adam, and Adam to be a partner to his wife. Instead of functioning as one flesh, remember that? And God brought the two together and he called them what? One flesh. Instead of functioning as one flesh, their flesh made them fight to see who was going to win. A preacher of old once said, when sin has the upper hand in a wife, she will desire to overpower or subdue or exploit her husband. And when sin has the upper hand in a husband, he will try to subdue or rule over her. To love and to cherish becomes to desire and to dominate. The complementary and helpful relationship God intended for marriage now is filled with friction, frustration, conflict, and competition. So what do we do with this? Well, biblically, Jesus is at the center of marriage, and the husband is to love his wife sacrificially, and the wife is to voluntarily follow his loving leadership. Listen to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 24 and 25. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Notice instructions for the wife, instructions for the husband. Given by who? God in his word. Through the example of who? Jesus. So submission is not spiritual inferiority. God created men and women in his image, which brings equal dignity, mutual respect, holy harmony, complementary rules, and a unified purpose. Men and women are equal, but not identical. Remember, we went over that and over that and over that. When a husband loves his wife sacrificially, he serves as her protector, guardian, and leader. This develops an environment where a wife will want to follow his lead. Both husband and wife should seek peace by putting the other first and by mutually serving one another. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33 summarizes it this way. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Why is it necessary for God to be able to share this with us through his word, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because of the consequences of sin that dates all the way back to the Garden of Eden? So here's the instruction for marriage. Wives, stop trying to control your husband and be willing to follow his lead. Husbands, make sure you are not recklessly ruling and dominating your wife. Instead, be the loving leader she longs for by sacrificing your life for her, just as Jesus did for the church. The curse due to Adam's sin brings consequences to everyone. All right, ladies, I'm done picking on you. Now we'll pick on the men, because there are consequences for men. And here are the consequences given to Adam. Look again at verse 17. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Because Adam listened to Eve and deliberately disobeyed God's clear instruction, Adam's work now will be filled with pain. You get the idea, right? Wasn't that way before? Now it's that way. So we're going to look at one of the consequences, and that's the futility of labor. The first consequence for Adam is stated in verses 18 and 19. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field, and by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. Now remember, go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9. And in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9, it describes a perfect garden in which God caused all kinds of delicious fruit to grow in abundance and variety. Prior to his disobedience, Adam just had to reach up and pick whatever fruit he desired. After his sin, he had to bend over and get all sweaty as he picked fruit and vegetables from the plants of the field. Now this phrase, bring forth, means to spring up or sprout. And if you're a gardener, you understand that about weeds, right? You can go out and you can pull the weeds today, and in a couple of days you have to go back out and what? Pull more weeds, right? Because they what? They sprang up. They sprouted, okay? This is what happens when weeds sprout out of nowhere in your gardens and lawns every year. Thorns. Thorns are undesirable. Thorns are not good. Thorns are undesirable, inedible plants that are a fire hazard. thistles were weedy, prickly plants. None of them were in place before Adam sinned and before God showed him what the consequences of that sin was going to be. Work had been fulfilling and fruitful. But now, because of Adam's sin, it will now be futile and frustrating. What was sweet and pleasurable would now be sweaty and painful. What a picture, right? And those of you who have gardens, those of you who take care of lawns, you understand the dynamic of this, right? Exactly. Thanks, Adam, for doing what you did and for having the consequences brought forth. Now, let me just stop here for a moment and let me just say something. There are people who want you to believe that God cursed work. God did not curse work. God had put work in place before the curse ever happened. Y'all understand that? He gave Adam responsibilities. Responsibilities towards his creation and responsibilities towards his wife. Work is not the curse. It's not the consequence of sin. Work was long before this ever, before consequences ever happen. So it's okay to work. There's nothing wrong with work. It's okay to put in a full day's work. And when you go to work as a believer, you need to put in a full day's work. You need not to do things that you know are robbing your boss of the time that he is paying you for while you are on the job. When you go to the job, you should always have a good attitude, because work is not cursed. Work is a good thing. In fact, the Bible says in the New Testament that when we go to work, we're not working for God. We're not working for man. We're working for who? For God. And to do a job that what? Pleases God. You know, when my kids started their first jobs, I made sure that they understood the importance of that. Before I dropped them off for their first day of work, we had a little conversation in the car that would go something like this. Now, I want you to remember, you're not working for your boss. You're working for God. So, yes, you're going to do a good job for your boss only because you're doing a good job for God. You do a good job for God, you're going to do a good job for your boss. Isn't that the way it works? Yeah. I was not afraid to tell my kids that. So, parents, if you have young kids, before they're hitting the workforce, you make sure that you tell them that too. Okay? They're not working for their boss. They're working for God. And if they do a good job that they know God will be pleased with, their boss will be pleased with as well. Isn't that right, boss? Yeah, exactly. Okay? All right? The curse due to Adam's sin brings consequences to everyone. Now, Adam has to work just to be able to eat. Wow. Then, here's the second consequence, the finality of life. Look again at verse 19. Because in verse 19, God tells Adam, who was made from dust, that he was going to die and he was going to return to dust. Till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Remember when we first was introduced to Adam? We looked at Adam in the Hebrew, which means what? Ground. Wow. So every time Adam heard his name spoken, he was reminded of where he came from. He came from where? Dirt. Came from the ground. Now God says, because of what you've done, to that ground you're going to return. You're going to die. And he's talking about physical death. Now, no matter how long we might be able to extend our life, unless the rapture happens first, death and dust is our destiny. Folks, I'm praying for the rapture. I don't want to see death. Not because I think death is horrible, not because I think death is something that I don't want to go through, but I'd rather meet my Savior in the air. I'd rather do that. And I'd rather be meeting my Savior with you folks gathered with me as we're headed up to meet him in the clouds. What a beautiful picture that is, isn't it? That's my prayer every day. Psalm 90, verses 3 and 10 say this: you return man to dust, and say, return, O children of man, The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Because of the finality of life, maybe we should make Psalm 90, verse 12, our prayer. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Notice it doesn't say a life of possessions, a life of control, a life of power, a life of friends. It says that we may get a what? Heart of wisdom. And folks, if you want to know where wisdom comes from, it comes from the Word of God. The more that you learn the Word of God, the more that you study the Word of God, the more that you meditate on the Word of God, the more that you live the Word of God. Remember what it says in James? Don't just be hearers of God's Word, but be doers. The more we're in God's Word, the more we will have a heart of wisdom. So death is a direct fulfillment of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. Remember what God said? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Adam would now work to have bread, which would not keep him alive. Adam's hunger made him work so he could eat, which still would lead to death. So consider with me the strength of these words. Sin, consequences, curse, pain, thorns, thistles, sweat, to dust you shall return. All of those because of Adam and Eve's sin. Adam began to die the day he ate the forbidden fruit. Now Genesis chapter 5 verse 5 tells us that Adam lived many years, but he still faced death. Listen to this. Thus all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. But there's three words that follow that. And he, guess what that word is? He died. Is Adam still alive today? Nope. Not here on earth. He has eternal life, but his life came to an end here on earth. The serpent lied, therefore, when he told Adam and Eve that they would be like God. Instead, Adam's life wasn't like God. Adam's life was filled with sorrow, sweat, pain, problems, disappointments, and eventually death. The curse due to Adam's sin brings consequences to everyone. Now, if you're a believer, be thankful for what Jesus has done for you on his cross. He's given you God's righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let me read it a different way. For our sake, because we have the consequences of sin, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. Wow. God did that for us in his love, in his mercy, and in his grace. We talked about grace this morning. We sang about grace this morning, didn't we? If you're an unbeliever, believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus for his promise of eternal life in Jesus' presence. Listen to John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. One important thing about this statement of Jesus, he says right from the beginning, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. After he says, believe also in me, then what does he talk about? Eternal life in heaven. You can't mistake it. You can't change it. We have eternal life, not because of what we've done, not because of who we are, not because of where we lived, not because of our religion, not because of our relationships, not because of our family and their heritage. We have eternal life because we believe in Jesus, who promised us that eternal life. And it's right here, recorded for us in John chapter 14. And if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself. Don't miss this, that where I am, you may be also. I'm looking forward to that day, not because I'm Pastor Sam, not because I pastored the greatest church in the Treasure Valley, but because I believe in Jesus and the promise of eternal life that he's given to me because I believe. If you're an unbeliever, don't let this day go by before you can acknowledge that you believe in Jesus and you've received that promise that only he can give of eternal life. Father, thank you for what it is that you have shared with us this morning from your word. Father, yes, there are consequences of sin. There are consequences given to women. There are consequences given to men. There are consequences given to the whole world as a result of sin. But Father, when we come to believe in Jesus for the promise of eternal life, he takes those consequences and he removes them. And he now gives to us the righteousness of you through what Jesus did for us on the cross. And Father, if there's anybody here who is yet to believe in you for the promise of eternal life, Father, help them not to go very long throughout the course of this day without coming to realize that when they believe in Jesus, they receive eternal life. Father, may they take your son at his promise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's one you know. It's called When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, I'll Be There.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their own beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Oh, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away. Die.